We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Bruce Springsteen is your artist of the day. That's a jam. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, that's a jam.
Oh, that's not too heavy?
No, why would it be?
Not too hard?
No.
All right. I heard a drum. With
myself. I can handle drums. I'm not entirely a wuss.
Courtney Cox around?
Isn't that funny? I always think of her when I hear the song, too.
Candle is your keyword this hour. Candle, C-A-N-D-L-E. Text that into 72881. I found this fascinating. I was cruising around on the internet. This is from CBS News, so you know it's true. They took all the movies that have ever been made and how much they made at the box office and adjusted for inflation. And here are the top 10 highest grossing movies of all time.
Of all time.
If you adjust for inflation. So keep in mind, maybe a movie ticket in 1941 went for 50 right. cents or 35 cents. They would adjust it and make it what it should be today.
Okay.
All right.
Can I guess some of them?
We'll start at the bottom at number 10.
Well, I'm just going to guess some and you tell
me
where they
are. I'll tell you if they're on the list.
Titanic has to be on the
list. Titanic is on the list in the top 10. Mr. Sterrett?
Oh, don't look at me. I have no idea.
No idea. Okay.
I am Hollywood illiterate.
Okay. Well, would that movie that's out right now that everybody's losing their minds over be on there?
Avengers Endgame?
Whatever, which
not
one it
yet.
Is. Not yet. Okay.
It is in the top 25.
But not the top 10.
Not yet.
Okay. Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard of Oz?
No. Wizard of Oz is not in the top 10.
Not in there.
I don't even remember seeing them in the top 25, to be honest with you.
Gone with the Wind?
It is in the list, yes.
Casablanca?
Not in the top 10.
E.T.?
Oh, in the there's one.
In the top 10, yep.
Star Wars, the original.
In the top 10.
Okay.
Some of these surprised me.
Why can I? Oh, Forrest Gump,
nope,
maybe?
Nope. Not in the top 10.
They all have to be, for the most part, summer blockbusters if they're modern day. Am I correct there, at least?
You would be surprised how many non... Let me just say this. In the top 10, not one single movie in the last 22 years.
Whoa! Really?
Yep.
Is Return of the Jedi also on there?
Return of the Jedi came in at 16.
Avatar.
Nope. It's on the list, but not in the top 10. Here we go. You
yeah,
ready?
Then I'm out. I have no idea.
I'll give you a couple of clues when we get close to the top.
Okay.
Number 10, the animated Snow White from 1937.
What?
Yep. Which made $185 million in 1937.
You've got to be kidding me.
Today's dollars, $982 million. Number 9. I'm telling you, some of these surprised me. This is from CBS News. I didn't make this up. Number 9, from 1973, The Exorcist.
Oh, of course.
Number 8, from 1965, Dr. Zhivago.
Is Godfather in there?
Not in the top 10.
Jaws?
Jaws is number 7.
Aha!
Number 6. From 1956, Ten Commandments.
Wow.
Number 5, Titanic. That is the most recent movie. Number 5 was Titanic, which made $659 million, which would be worth $1.2 billion today. By the way, I believe these are U.S. gross domestic numbers,
okay.
Not international.
Okay.
Okay. That would probably change everything. Number four, E.T. from 1982. Number three, from 1965, The Sound of Music.
Wow.
Which made $1 billion.
Wow.
In today's dollars, $1.28 billion. Number two.
I see, I'm completely out.
If only you could be so bold.
The Imperial Senate will not still for this. When they hear you've attacked a diplomatic...
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed to the ship by rebel spies.
Star Wars, the original, number two. With a domestic haul, if you adjust it for inflation, of $1.6 billion. Number one. Number one.
Rick! You go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Gone with the Wind in 1939.
You have got to be kidding me. During the Depression.
During the Depression, made $201 million. Which would equal $1.8 billion domestically today. Even when we didn't have any money, we had money. Gone with the Wind is the most profitable, highest grossing movie adjusted for inflation of all time. Star Wars Episode 4
is
number
just,
two.
Real quick, a snapshot of how many people went at the time. This isn't DVD sales later.
No. And it's not, you know, what you would get for residuals on TV or anything. It's just who went to the movies.
I'd be curious among people who are, let's say, you know, 40 or younger, how many have actually seen that movie?
I'm gonna check, see how many of these I've seen. One, two, three.
Because I'm willing to bet there's any more. There's probably a pretty sizable number of people who haven't seen Gone with the Wind.
I've seen seven of these.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Seven of the ten?
Mm-hmm. The ones I have not are Dr. Zhivago, Ten Commandments, and Gone with the Wind.
So you haven't seen Gone with the Wind?
No.
I haven't either. Ketz told me he hasn't.
Have you?
Oh.
I mean, we all know the famous line, frankly, my darling, or whatever.
I've never.
I don't give a damn.
I don't think I've sat down and watched it in its entirety.
I know his name is Rhett.
I know that too.
I've never seen Dr. Zhivago, and I've never seen the Ten Commandments.
Obviously, Gone with the Wind has to be truly something special, but...
When you said, Scott, this shows you even when we don't have money, we spend money, I'm going to look at this another way. This is what this list proves. Even when you don't have money, movies are still one of the cheapest forms of entertainment that take you away briefly from whatever problems you have.
That's a great point.
Because nobody had any money, but they could still go spend 10 cents or whatever it was to go see the picture show, as my grandma called it. Let's go see a talkie.
Let's go to the cinema. What other movie came out in 1939 that people went to go see a lot? Wizard of Oz.
When was Ben-Hur?
I don't know.
See, I thought that might be on the list.
By the way, for those of you who are Star Wars fanatics, the other Star Wars movies, The Force Awakens was number 11.
1959 for Ben-Hur.
Adjusted for inflation. Empire Strikes Back was 13. Return of the Jedi, 16. And that god-awful piece of crap, Phantom Menace, was 18th. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to post that. I find that fascinating.
Somebody points out we didn't have TV in 1939. So the movie theater was the escape.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. A lot of people want to know, what about Back to the Future? It did not make the list, not even in the top 25.
Really?
And somebody says, what about Roadhouse? Shockingly. Shockingly, Roadhouse is not in there.
Not yet.
Yet.
Put it back in theaters.
We're waiting on that re-release, Will.
That's right.
But think about all of our big movies growing up, like Indiana Jones. That's not on there.
Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark is in there in the top 25, but it's 21st or 22nd, I think. Mm-hmm.
How many Spielberg movies are on that list?
Avatar's in there.
Three? Four?
Avatar, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws.
Indiana Jones, right?
Well, I just said Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's kind of amazing.
I can't remember. Was Forrest Gump a Spielberg movie?
No. Was
Jurassic Park. Yes, it's in there. In fact, I think
Jurassic Park would have to
I
be on there.
I think there are two Jurassic Parks in there. No, guys, Shawshank Redemption did not make it. Green Mile did not make it. And sadly, Top Gun is
not on
that list.
Wasn't Forrest Gump Rob Reiner? Am I making that up?
You might be right. I don't think that was Spielberg. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Avatar was not Spielberg. It was James Cameron. Sorry. Beg your pardon. No, Terminator 2 is not on the list. I'll look it up if you guys want me to go through the whole top 25, but I just thought the top 10 would be interesting enough.
Gump was Robert Zemeckis. Sorry. I get him confused with Reiner. I don't know why.
Spielberg did Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, Saving Private Ryan was not on there.
Not on the list.
Really?
Nope. Didn't make it.
That's a movie I'll cry every time I watch
every
it.
Every single time.
It's a good one.
Ernest,
it's a great movie.
Deserve this?
Oh, no. To me, it's the ending where Private Ryan is an old
flash
man.
Forward,
at
yeah.
the cemetery.
And he looks at his wife and says, tell me, what did he say? Tell me I did it right.
I've earned this. Tell me I'm a good man.
Yeah, tell me I'm a good man.
Dude, if I'm alone.
Oh, I don't care if I'm with people.
Niagara Falls coming out of my face.
That movie, Rudy, and Shawshank sometimes will get me too.
Whoa. Real quick, and I know we got to get to the break. We're late. Field of Dreams. Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
Yeah.
Oh.
I still need to go up to Dyersville, Iowa. It's still around.
I know, but when he looks at his dad, he goes, hey, Dad. And he turns around and he goes, you want to have a catch?
I'd like that, son.
Go. I can't do this.
Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you.
Okay.
It was the number 5 movie of all time.
Oh, I love that movie. I posted that, and we'll put it on the main KMBZ Facebook page, too, because the list really is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. I hate to tell you fine people listening what I'm about to tell you, but I can't help it. This is one of those stories that I didn't want to read and I didn't want to look at, but I can't stop reading it or looking at it. Did you know that when you lay your head down to sleep at night on that sweet little pillow, and you're going sleepy, live face mites land on your pores, eat your grease, and mate on your face? Don't freak out. The story starts.
I got so many jokes.
Please Google live face mites mate on your face while you sleep. Don't freak out, but you probably have a few dozen arachnids grinding up on tiny shafts of hair lodged inside your face, quietly gorging themselves on your natural oils.
And what else are they doing on my face?
New video. All right.
They twerking it on my face?
Butt stuff.
New video shows the mites live a peaceful life buried in the facial pores of most human adults.
No.
The mites are not found on babies, but they are thought to be transmitted through motherly contact. The creepy crawlies have 8 legs, mostly are transparent and microscopic in size. They measure 0.01 inches. They live near the roots of facial hair follicles on both men and women.
So on your chin.
And they are hidden away in your pores. It's an easy access, all-you-can-eat slurp buffet of the waxy oil your face excretes to keep hydrated. Given their dietary preferences, face mites are attracted to the greasiest pores on your body, including those around your cheeks, nose, and forehead. Each mite can live for about 2 weeks. They pose no known threat to you unless they amass in truly large numbers.
So you're telling me that I've got a bunch of mites that are banging it out of my face right now.
Yep, I'm going to show you a picture. Wait until you see this picture. Now, these
they're just, this is a, they're just taking it to town right now on my face.
And they live there. I mean, they live on you. And they mate on
and they're
your face.
And they're doing the naughty, naughty on my face.
Yes. There's video. Scott, these things are little. Okay, here they are.
Butt stuff.
Now, they're shaped.
On your face.
Look, here's one right here. Here. Oh, wait on. A minute. It's going to zoom out. They're kind of shaped like a. Gross. Like a, I don't want to see
almost
that.
Almost like a. Hang on.
It's going to show you.
What here. Are they doing? Cocaine on my face, too?
Look, there's one. Ah! They crawl. I don't like looking at it, but I can't stop looking at it.
Show me a. You showed me a black widow and somebody chopping up cocaine. What
All
are
right,
you doing?
There's one.
I can't see it.
Well.
That's a typical weekend at Dana's house.
Look.
Oh, they look like. They look like little caterpillars.
Little worms. But this is not
that
something...
That thing is plowing it out on my face
yes.
right now?
Oh, it's not man. Something new. This has always been in us and on us. Okay, there's video of them crawling out of the hair follicle. So, Scott, on your beard, they use that chin hair...
That's why it itches so
...like
much.
A ladder. And while you sleep, they crawl up and out that ladder onto your face...
And go to work.
They do their little
other.
Happy dance, and
oh,
then they
look,
go back.
That, they're getting it on.
All right.
Newsroom will stare it.
I'm back. Get up off of that thing and dance to you. You better get up off of that thing and dance to you. Sing it now. Get up off
this
has
got
that
Father
thing,
of Soul right there.
And dance to you
James Brown.
Get up off of that thing.
On a Festivus Friday, don't forget, we will do the airing of the grievances coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
What is going on in Lisa?
I don't know. There is something going on out there.
Listen to this story posted overnight from the Kansas City Star editorial board. I'm just going to read the headline. Black students and others in Lee's Summit asked to sing Pick a Bale of Cotton.
Oh, boy.
What? That's in the headline. What? Pop quiz. Do you think teachers and school officials who don't see why African-American students and others were upset to have been asked to sing Jump Down, Turn Around, Pick a Bale of Cotton at a high school concert might benefit from racial equity training? Maybe we should just be glad the performance in front of parents at Underwood Elementary School in Lee's Summit did not use the original lyrics, which I will tell you, Scott, as you can imagine, contain the N-word. If you're thinking this is a wildly far-fetched and obviously hypothetical way to make a point, nope. It happened. And parents cited that as evidence of the need for inclusion training at a recent meeting when the Lee's Summit School Board shot down yet another plan. Do you really need inclusion training to know that that is not appropriate?
No. I'm curious, and I would encourage those of you in the Lee's Summit School District. I know today might be the last day. It is for us, at least out here. Maybe today is the last day of school for you guys. What is going on? You have a superintendent who is threatening to quit. You have, who, by the way, happens to be black. You have a school board member who had to apologize this past week.
That's right.
For some comments that she made at a school board meeting.
It was the school board president who suggested that as a blonde, she too has suffered the pain of oppression.
And then you have, apparently, hang on, let me get this story back in front of me.
It's just, it is.
School officials who thought it was appropriate to have students sing or sing them, yes, jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. At a school concert. I am not a snowflake. It takes a lot to offend me. But even a dumb kid like me from Lansing, who I think had maybe one or two black people in his graduating class, even I know that there is a perceived racial bias or stereotype, if you will, when it comes to black people and the picking of cotton. And probably that song, I don't know if I was a music teacher, I would probably say is not a pro-pro. Just like I would not, I'm trying to think of something equivalent.
She has since apologized for stating that her blondness has caused pain and oppression too.
As she should.
There's something going on in that district. Is it they're tone deaf or they?
Is it that or they're frustrated and they think everything is racially charged and they're just trying to say, you know, middle finger to all of this. You know, we don't care. Quit being so sensitive. I am sympathetic to the idea that we have become, I'm very sympathetic, I might profess, to the idea that we've become an overly sensitive community. It wasn't but last week that guy, Pete Buttigieg or whatever, who's running for president, was saying that he is in favor of removing Thomas Jefferson from all sorts of things. And I tweeted out to Dana and to some others, I said, who predicted this? It was me, of course, because we are an overly sensitive country. And we are hypercharged right now for whatever reason. I mean, you're either right over here or you're right over here. And I think I might be the only one standing in the middle. I think I am, because it feels really lonely in here, I'll be honest. But if I was a high school music teacher, even I would know that it's probably not appropriate to have black students and
or
white
students
singing Jump Down, Turn Around, Pick a Bale of Cotton. I mean, just add a modicum of common sense. Are you trying to pick a fight? I'm not saying that we have to be super hypersensitive and everything has to be an insult. What I'm saying is don't give them ammunition.
Let me say something in favor of what we're seeing in Lee's Summit play out, okay? Let me say something that might be another way to look at what we keep seeing in that district.
All right.
All of this bubbled over the surface when the superintendent wanted diversity training, sensitivity training, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As part of that training, part of the training was going to be about white privilege, Scott. And that's what got the president of the board in trouble, because she said, I don't like the word white privilege. And then she tried to somehow say that her being blonde was similar to, I mean, it's just, oy, 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 oy. Are the problems that we're seeing in Lee's Summit, are they happening because they're at least trying to address it through ongoing conversations about diversity training? Maybe we're not seeing this level of dysfunction in other districts because they're not even discussing having diversity or inclusion training. And maybe in Overland Park or in Kansas City or KCK, if they were all arguing over a $97,000 plan to hire a firm to do year-long diversity training, we would start to see some of these tensions and anger and the back and forth we're seeing with this school board. As in, this is happening everywhere. We're just not seeing it because they aren't addressing it. So at least tip your hat to Lee's Summit that the superintendent is saying, let's have the discussion, the awkward discussion, the super awkward discussion about things like white privilege.
Okay. And I can already hear people screaming out, Dana. Well, this song is a classic. Okay.
What?
Hear me out. This song is a classic. It is a classic, but it's a song that most people, especially anyone younger than us, has never heard, and most people our age and older have pretty much forgotten. Nobody walks around going, jump around, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. Nobody does that.
Your great-grandparents would probably be familiar with that song.
I'm familiar with that lyric. I'm not familiar with the song.
I've never heard it in my life.
I have. However, people, I can hear people screaming in their cars, well, if that's offensive, then why are we teaching Huck Finn in school? Huck Finn is a bona fide, realized literary classic. Now, it does contain 140-some-odd mentions of the N-word. I get it. That was the way that the book was written years and years ago. And I am not in favor of taking that book out of school. Now, I foresee the day not too far in the future when Huck Finn will be removed from school. However, this song is not a classic. Bohemian Rhapsody is a classic. Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock is a classic. This one is not a classic. There is no excuse for telling kids they need to sing this song at school.
Okay.
You're asking for trouble.
I've never heard it, but let me just read you. The song has been covered by many artists over the years. Harry Belafonte, The Quarrymen, a version by Johnny Cash.
Harry Belafonte, by the way, is black.
Appears in the Cash compilation album, The Legend. ABBA recorded it as a medley.
Really?
It is a folk song. I'm trying to find the origin. Has been criticized as racist and reminiscent and glorifying of slavery, period, in American history, of course. And the original lyrics did contain multiple slurs.
Now, I'm assuming ABBA took it out.
I have never in my life heard of this song.
You've never heard of Pick a Cotton?
But even if I saw the lyrics in front of me without the slur in them, I would not have handed that to a group of elementary school kids and said, sing this.
Here's ABBA. Hey, cats, pay attention in case you hear the bad word. If there's a bad word in this, I want you to dump it. Hang on. Let me try to get my stupid computer to work here. Catchy. Here's the beginning of the song. They're singing it.
Oh my God.
That's ABBA from 1970 something.
If you Google this song and education, this is not the first time a school district has been roundly criticized for in a music class having the kids sing that song.
576-7798.
Got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today, life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock.
A guy by the name of Johnny Cash, they've heard of him, recorded this song in 1962.
Hey, snatch it, pick a bale of cotton, oh, grab it, pick a bale a day. Pick a bale, pick a bale, pick a bale of cotton. Pick a bale, pick a bale, pick a bale a day.
All right.
A friend of mine wrote in and said, fourth grade, we used to sing it.
I think we used to sing when I was a kid.
In the 1970s, Catholic parochial school, we used to sing it. 1970-something.
Steve in the Northland. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Couple of things. First, if we don't start pushing back with this politically incorrect nonsense, we're going to lose our freedom of speech, for one. And two, there are a lot more white people picking cotton than blacks. So it's not like they own it. So aside from the N-word, I understand that. But just mentioning picking cotton, that don't cut it as a racial
Well, but Steve, in the origin of the song, they are specifically talking about black people picking cotton. I don't think your argument holds water. They were not singing about white people picking cotton.
No, black people pretty much taking over the picking cotton argument is what I'm saying.
Well, but they also have...
It doesn't hold water.
Well, but to follow that line of thinking, with all due respect, Steve, then black people, you would argue, have taken over the noose. I mean, plenty of white people have been hung by a noose, but if you hang a noose on a college campus today, it is considered a racist move. Would you agree with that or not?
Yep.
Hmm?
Yeah, but I don't know the statistics on white people being hung.
Well, I think there is plenty of evidence in American history of white people being hung.
No, without a trial.
I understand, but that's not what we're saying. We're not saying we're going to kill you without a trial. We're saying what a noose symbolizes today, whether rightly or wrongly, okay, is that we're going to lynch you. And the noose in and of itself has become, whether fairly or unfairly, a racist symbol. The Confederate battle flag, I had to finally admit, as much as it bothered me, the Confederate battle flag has become hijacked, and I think it's unfortunate, by the crazy, lunatic, Aryan Nation, white brotherhood, whatever. And I finally, about a year ago, took down the Confederate battle flag that I had hung in my garage because I had realized, not that the meaning changes for me, but I realize that the Confederate battle flag has been successfully, and I use that word in air quotes, successfully hijacked by racists in America. And so I took it down. Not willingly, not because I wanted to. I know what the Confederate battle flag still means for me and plenty of people like me. It is a symbol of, to me, it's still a symbol of the South, a anti-government symbol, if nothing else. But that symbol has been hijacked by crazy racist a-holes, and I took mine down in the garage, and I got rid of it. I can't control.
And I don't see this as a free speech issue. This is a common sense issue.
You have to understand that the noose has become a symbol of lynching, even though I would imagine far more white people were hung by a noose than blacks.
When I think of a noose, I do not think about the two white men who killed the Clutter family.
No, you don't. You think about lynching.
Yes.
The image itself
is synonymous.
Whether rightly or wrongly, has become synonymous, to borrow your word, Dana, with lynching. Picking cotton... And I know plenty of white people pick cotton, but the idea of picking cotton has become synonymous with black people as slaves working in the South. You don't have to like it. I'm just telling you what it is now.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.